week we have a lot of uncertainties. I myself, you know, I'd be guilty of stacking some things in my house. I'll be honest with you, because there's no certainty, actually. I'm guilty of that. I'm tempted also. And I just remember when we had a salmonella outbreak, we just have to find the source of that issue, and then we cut the supplies, and a few days after that is everything will be okay, right? But this thing is so different, you know. I called my son last Wednesday because I saw on the TV NBA is canceled, and he works at NBA. So I was kind of worried, actually, too, to be honest with you. It struck me so quick. Oh, Nanya is working at the NBA. Mm-hmm. How will he support his family? Mm-hmm. He has a new kid. They just moved from a small apartment to another apartment just to accommodate the, you know, the presence of my granddaughter, and now he has no job. So I called him as soon as I had a chance, and he told me that I still have a job because I'm included in the Jordan project. So our contract, I think, it will run until June or first week of July. So I still have work. You know, after that, I don't know, he told me. So I guess it gives me a relief of that kind, you know, that he still have a job to support his family. And my wife and I were talking about it, that we will, because we were kind of worried that they will move to Indiana and we will never see our granddaughter anymore. Aww. I know, my wife keeps telling me about that, and, you know, at first I didn't listen, like, you know, but when she told me that they may be moving to Indiana, and they will take Micah with them, and that's it. And I said, oh no, oh no. And I told my wife, oh, don't worry, we will open up the, you know, the other side of the house, maybe the basement, and we will tell them to come in, so we can, you know, we can he can save and he can find another job, and, you know, and go on from there. There's so many uncertainties, actually. So today I would like to give you a message that will help me first. I've been reading a book about, actually, my daughter knows it, about what the Bible said about end times. So I was reading a portion of it, and I would like to share some of the, you know, the materials that I've read. It's written by Mr. Boatman. I think he's one of the professors in Cincinnati. I'm not sure. So I would like to share those thoughts to you this morning. Help me a lot. You know, I'm still struggling with uncertainties, and hopefully, you know, we can study as a group, and then God will help us through His inspired word that can help us alleviate our situation right now. So I titled my message this morning, Sovereignty of God. Okay? Sovereignty means supreme power and authority. I believe in all my heart. Okay? I believe in all my heart that God is in control. He is the supreme authority of all the things that is happening around us. All right? We have a couple of verses. I have chosen two verses, actually, to, you know, get us through this part of our life. You know, I never imagined that we will, you know, in America we will have something like this. You know, it's kind of weird at the same time, but you know, we're in America where everything is, you know, just a pick of the phone, everything will be okay. But here we are right now, you know, with uncertainties. So the best way, I guess, is first of all, I would like, you know, for you to be encouraged with what we have as studied this morning. You know, we are blessed with a teacher, with a, you know, with the Word of God is available for us. And it's you know, it's so nice to hear those words. And you know, we're studying deeper subject on the Bible, and then at the same time we are, you know, we understood what it meant, all those terms. You know, we read the Bible just it is, but sometimes it's so hard to pick up on those things. And now we are studying it, like, you know, it's really, really amazing situation that we have. Well, let's, before I start, let's bow our head, let's ask the Lord for guidance, and let's ask the Lord for help. We need all assurances in spite of testing that is happening around us, around the world. I guess the best way is to look up to God and ask Him for help. Because Chronicles said, if my people will pray, they will, He will heal them, He will hear them and heal their land. Mm-hmm. I guess this is a wake up call for everybody that we have to look up and remember God in our lives. Because a lot of people don't remember God. And I guess it's time to remember God right now and ask for help. Okay, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Do you mind if I kneel today? Oh God, I don't know if we just want you to know as a voice in one community of believers today, oh God. We call on to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. So much uncertainty in our midst, oh God. And your people are being humbled. And I ask, oh God, for guidance. We ask for help. We ask you to move us, oh God, and open and deeper relationship with you, God. I know this is a way for us to remember you most of our days in our lives, oh God, because we are so tempted to forget and to value you less than anything in this world, oh God. We've been proud. We've been forgetful, maybe by purpose or by we look ourselves too much for ourselves too much that we can do everything and anything, oh God, because we are in the most rich nation, powerful nation on the face of the world, and as if we can do anything that we want. But right now what is happening around us, it tells us that we have to rely on you. We are powerless, oh God. Even in our situation, we cannot change our situation. So God, I pray for guidance. I pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for people who call on your name, oh God, to really, really value our relationship with you, God. Not just we say about God, teaching about God, but the faith that we will put it in our everyday lives, that we really believe in you, God. And I pray for our country. Actually, I pray for the whole world, oh God. I know we are just a small voice, but right now, oh God, we are full of uncertainties, and I pray that you wake people up. That you are a sovereign God, you are still in control, okay. So thank you so much that we have a chance today, we have a place to gather together, even though people discouraged to go to church, to mingle with other Christians because of our situation. But because of your plan for us, O God, we were able to come in this place. Thank you so much. Again, O God, we will open the Bible and study about your word. Bless us, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. You know, if people tell you this is an accident or a coincidence, you know, don't believe them, I guess. My faith is God's plan for us today. I don't know. We are here. We don't expect to be here. But we are here. So God's plan for that. You know? He's still a sovereign. We learned in school long time ago that everything is an accident. And a lot of times we kind of, even though we don't really believe it, but our lifestyle tells that everything is an accident, everything is a coincidence. But God has planned for us. I do believe that. Just like we're 93 million away from the sun, floating around the Milky Way in the universe. We're not too far, we're not too close, we're just an exact number of miles away from the sun. I don't think that's an accident. I think it's planned. God planned it that way. That's why we feel warm enough, you know, in order to feel, that's not an accident. That's a plan of God, you know. I couldn't look in the future that I would be here standing in front of you. That's not my, I never dream of that. But God has a way to plan things on our behalf. And He plans for that. I do believe that He plans for that. Okay? And everything right now is, uncertain. Uncertain. It's like I told you earlier, when we had the Salmonella outbreak, yeah, they cut off the supply. They found which lettuce or whatever commodity is, having those things that, we can stop it. They stopped it in a few days. They stopped it already. But now, it's they don't have any way to stop it, actually. Like, for 3 days. Maybe they can stop it in few months or few, hopefully it's months or weeks. But they don't have any strategy concrete to stop it. So everything is full of uncertainties. So I would like to read those verses to you this morning in order for us to identify or understand the sovereignty of God in all these things that is happening around us. Let me read Acts chapter 17, verses 24. It's a little bit, a couple of verses, but I want you to the following verses. If you've got your Bible with you, let me start. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands, as He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man He made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in his history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from them. He is not far from any of us. For in Him we live and move, and have our being. And some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. And then let me move to 2 Kings. I know that we don't read this, we seldom read these verses that is given to us this morning. It's in 2 Kings. Chapter 6, verses 15 to 18. Okay. Let me read to you the verses. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness. So Elisha had asked. Well, let's understand the context of these verses that we have read. First one is Acts. It is Apostle Paul teaching at Athens. The people there had so many gods, and they have the unknown god. A temple like an image that will, let's say, to the unknown god. There are so many gods, to worship and to honor. So they don't want to forget anybody. Any gods out there. So they name an image to the unknown god. So they won't forget, other gods that they might not be known for them at that time. So they put an image to the unknown God. And Paul was reasoning out with them and telling them that, God doesn't reside on temples, man-made temples, but he resides on human hearts. And also the story of 2 Kings. Actually, this is the story of the 2 Kings. When the king of Aram wanted to destroy the people in Israel, at that time the kingdom was divided, Judea and Israel. All right. So this king of Aram were about to destroy the people of Israel. So Elisha was the prophet. And one of his servants was there. And when the morning comes, he opened the door and saw Ba's army, ready to attack. So he went back to Elisha, "Lord, there's a lot of armies outside and ready to destroy us and kill us and, maybe capture us and that's it. That's the end of our story." And Elisha said to the servant, "Don't worry. We are more than their number." And he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." And when he went back again, he didn't see the big army of Aram, king of Aram, but he saw on the hills, the vast army of God surrounding this army of Aram. He didn't see the army, but he saw the army of God, surrounding the army of the king of Aram. A lot of times in our lives, we are faced with difficulties, you know, and challenges, and things that we don't know how to overcome. And we, and after seeing that, you know, after seeing those things, we become anxious, we become nervous, even the believers of Christ, you know, who read the Bible, who understand the Bible, sometimes when we're confronted with those things, we are afraid, we are scared, and sometimes we freeze. We don't know how to move. We don't know how to act. Elisha said, we are more in numbers than the one who's surrounding us. Apostle Paul said, greater is he than the one in the world, right? If we will just look beyond what we see in our eyes, you know, we can see better. The Bible said we ought to walk by faith and not by sight, right? A lot of times we are tempted. A lot of times we are we got a temptation that we judge things according to what we see and what is around us. And we tend to, you know, get to the corner and shrink and lose our faith. And we become fearful and without hope. Elisha's prayers open our eyes. Lord, open their eyes. Open my eyes of faith, Lord. You know, open my eyes of faith, Lord, so I can see that you are greater than anything that the world can offer me right now. Greater is he. The things around us are scary. I don't minimize that it is scary. I don't minimize that. I myself is scared. I was with my granddaughter the whole week. When I look at her, she can do anything. And I, you know, I see powerless, you know, no power to change that thing. You know, and then the question my mind is how about if, you know, the virus struck this household? How will they react? Yeah. And we pray, God, open our eyes, Lord, open our eyes, so we may see that you are greater than anything this world can offer. You know, our God is sovereign. He is a supreme power. Let's read Psalms chapter 90, verse 2. It says, chapter 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everything to everlasting, you are God already. See, before the mountains, before anything else existed, you know, before anything that we see and touch and enjoy, God is there already. He existed before anything else. God is there. Our God is there already. God is sovereign because he is there. In fact, he said he created all things, and all things were created by him and through him, as mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to hold your breath for a couple of seconds. Take a deep breath, the deepest breath you ever do in your life. Hold it. And then release it. You can breathe, right? But if God doesn't allow you to breathe, what will he? God give us breath. You know, he allows us to take a deep breath and exhale and have some, you know, like our burden is lifted up. But if it doesn't allow you to take that deep breath and exhale, I don't think we ever survive in this way. Right? Sometimes we have to take a deep breath and then look around and exhale. Wow, God is there. Remind ourselves, God is there. He created all things. He is sovereign. He was there before anything else. He was there before anything else. Everything is created by Him and through Him. And every breath that we take comes from God. That's how sovereign He is. Another thing is, He is above all things. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and the following says, it says, to say to the captives, come out, and those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren of thirst, of barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat on the sun beat down on them. Who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside the springs of water. He's above all things. He's above all things. Oh, I'm sorry. I read 49. I should be reading chapter 46. I'm sorry. It says over here, chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of those long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient time, what it is still to come. So He's above all things. He's the creator. He's transcendent. You know? He's not controlled by His creation. He's above His creation. He's a transcendent God. You know? And another thing, He sustains what He created. He sustains what He created. He didn't create and then left. A lot of us, we will build a table, build a something that we're good at, and then we leave it alone. God is not like that. He sustains life. He brings forth rain. He brings forth sunshine. He brings, you know, seasons to everyone, to everything that He created, you know. And He orchestrated all things as He controlled all things. He's the source of life. He's the giver of life. He planned life. He planned for me. I never knew. I was in high school, actually. I was in high school when I first, my mom used to take me to a Catholic church. And I see my mom walking from front door of the Catholic church all the way to the altar, almost every Wednesday. I was there. I saw her crying. And I thought myself, maybe I'll be like my mother doing the same thing. I was in high school. I was following my mom. I'm the oldest son. But every Wednesday, He takes me from that moment that I have my thinking already. I saw her going that way and very religiously. And I thought myself, maybe this is my life. You know, maybe this is my life. I will be with my mom. But when I was in second year high school, she died. And I was devastated. Not seeing my mom anymore. No Wednesday to take me and go to church and see her praying, knees, and then going to the front of the altar. No more. And then one day, I saw a movie in our school. I told you that before, right? The title of the movie, Burning Hell. And from that moment, I went home, Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, please. I prayed and I cried to God, Lord, I don't want to go there. And then the Bible was open for me. And I seek the word of God from that day on. God has a plan for me. And he put me over here in front of you. I don't know. But God, you know, controls the history of every... He didn't create me just to leave me alone with my mom. He created me because he has a plan for me. And he has a plan for you. He put you here listening to me. He has a plan for everybody. That's how sovereign he is. He controls everything. That's our God. You know, he is bigger than anything. He is bigger than what we fear right now. I was crying when my mom died. But he gave me a chance to listen to his words. And that's the start of his plan for me. And he has plans for you. He has plans for everybody. That's how sovereign he is, actually. Another story of the Bible is the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, right? You're familiar with that? When he had the three teenagers, Hebrew teenagers, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's, I guess, if I pronounce it right. If not, just correct me. Actually, the story is about bringing those Hebrew people to the Babylon to re-educate them. And, you know, grew up and follow what the Babylonian things are. They took them to, they become exiled. But these three teenagers don't want to be influenced. But what does Babylonian do? So this king created a golden statue and wanted everybody to bow down, to honor and worship that image. And these three fellows said, no, we can't. We don't want to bow down on that image. And he threatened them, I will put you in the furnace, you know, if you don't bow down. I think, I'm not sure if I am the verse. And it's, the story goes like, said we can't. The three teenagers can't. He said, no. If you put us on the furnace, if God will consume us, whatever happens. But if will God deliver us, that's his plan for us. So Nebuchadnezzar was so mad and furious, so he sent these three boys to the furnace and put the furnace into 7 times more hotter than the ordinary thing. I don't know how hot it is, but he put it 7 times. They bound them and they put them there. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And then after a few hours, King Nebuchadnezzar opened the window and saw 4 images of people inside the furnace. And the 4th one was like an image of the Son of God. They're not burned, they're not being consumed. You know what only burned on that? According to the story, said only the rope that's being tied to them were burned. You read the story. Their shoes are there, their clothing are there. And there's another image of the 4th man inside. You know, through life we go through fire and we think we're all by ourselves. God's plan is to put us on testing right now, to put us on fire. Don't forget, he is with us on the fire. He was with us, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
and outside the furnace, and they were never consumed. Because they said, if God's will is for us to be consumed, that's His plan for us. You know, we are testing in our life. The fourth man will be there for us. God will always be there for us. He promised us, right? What is said in the Bible? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Is he lying? I don't think so. I don't think so. He will be there for us. What he started for you and for me, he will finish it. He will finish it. My faith, I truly believe in that. Whatever he started in your life, you know, he didn't promise that you will not go to fire, actually. Right? He didn't promise that all of us will, you know, be a Christian and then everything is smooth sailing. No, he didn't promise that. I never promised you a rose garden. He never said that. He never promised that the road will be, you know, without thorns, without tribulation, without testing. He didn't promise that. He promised that if we are in the fire, if we are being tested, if we are being fearful and, you know, confronted by fear, uncertainty, and some hopelessness, God said He will be there to take care of us. He will be there. Because He was with Meshach, Abednego. He was there, and Mr. Shadrach. He was there inside the furnace with us, with them actually. And He will be with us also on the fire in our life right now. That's how sovereign He is. Job says, even though he would slay me, I will still trust him. Imagine. Job said, even though he will slay me, I will still trust him. So, I know it's hard. I know it's easy. I can put a concern in this. In our life. Don't forget, God is sovereign. He's there. He will never leave us. He will never, never leave us. He will never leave us by ourselves. He's there. We just have to open. Just like when Elijah was praying to God, Lord, open his eyes. And the slave opened his eyes and looked up again. And he saw big, you know, a multitudes of army and chariots. And those are the army of God surrounding the army that will try to besiege them and kill them. I know the problem is so big. It's beyond our humanly reasoning is. And we say to ourselves, Lord, when will it stop? You know? We wanted to stop everything at a couple of hours. Right? But sometimes God allows us to be in the fire. Because what happened to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? When they come out of the fire, what happens? People look at them differently, right? Even Nebuchadnezzar told them, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you are the servant of the Most High. Yeah. And after that, people believe and follow them. and they believe and worship the God of Meshach and Abednego. Blessed be the name of the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. They become believers. They become followers of God. And I do believe if we will remain steadfast, you know, hanging on with the Lord, people will look us up differently. They will believe God through us. They will follow God. They will know God. Because you have overcome and we have overcome. Because being a Christian is not only talking and teaching and everything. I was listening to my daughter's, we were listening to a sermon actually this morning on our way here. And the speaker said, that's not enough. We teach about God. We told people about God. And sometimes it's being hardly seen in our lives. So if we come out of the fire, we will have a different perspective in life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave it, and he has the right to take it. Whatever happens, he's in control. He said, every plan of man, every season in this world, he is in control of everything. One who so. I myself sometimes, you know. This message is for us, actually, for me and for us. We don't lose hope. We look up to that. He controls everything. Right? So I want to invite everybody. We have a invitation. So I'd like you to contemplate on the message. Contemplate on what are we experiencing right now. And renew our trust in you. Lord, open our eyes of faith. We have faith in a big and awesome God. There's no impossible with God. There is no impossible. He can take it away. Seconds, but that is whatever plan he is in this world. If he is about to come and take us away for the eternity that he has promised us, let it be. Or if it's a wake up call for people who need us and make them see that the ruler of this world is God himself, and to be known by man, that's his plan. Or if you have any doubt, we are doubting the power of God right now. This message is for us. He is a sovereign God. He is a wonderful, loving God at the same time. He knows we are hurting. Let's call on the name of the Lord. And as this song is being sung, let's think about that.